is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
Psalms 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." How many of you know He's already made this day? The next line is, "I will." Somebody say, "I will."
I will.
Look at your neighbor. Say, "Neighbor, I will."
Neighbor, I will.
Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving, and I will enter His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Come on, bless His holy name.
Our Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your holy presence in this house, Almighty God. Lord, I ask You now that You would just prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive Your word. Father, use this earthen vessel, O God. Use these lips, every breath that comes through this body, Father God, to proclaim Your truth. Father, let it find good soil in our hearts and bring forth fruit, even that of a hundredfold, that we might be transformed even into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in his holy name we pray. Somebody says amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this morning we are continuing and concluding our study of prayer. We're going to look at Acts chapter 27. We're going to go through basically the whole chapter, and I'll just give some commentary along the way. So you could bookmark that if you'd like, Acts chapter 27. But before we get to that point, I need to speak about something about praying in tongues. Hallelujah. How many know we're a full gospel church?
Amen.
We believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We do not believe in the dispensation that years ago that the gifts were done away with. We believe that the gifts are active in the church today. So I want to speak to you about praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. Those words are interchangeable in the Bible. In the Bible, there are different uses for the speaking in tongues. We see it being used as worship. We see it being used as prayer. We see it being used with interpretation as prophecy. We also see it being used as a sign in the second chapter of Acts. Many of you are familiar with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that they came out of the upper room and they began to speak in other tongues, and people were there from all over the world that understood them in their native language. So God gave them a tongue that was intelligible to those around them. It was a miraculous sign. We don't really read about that anywhere else in the New Testament. But tongues have different uses throughout the Word of God. So I just want to give you a foundation of scriptures. This is not an exclusive or an exhaustive study on the speaking of tongues, but we're going to look at some scriptures here. The first one is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I believe we have a slide for this. It says, "For if I pray in a tongue," what's it say? "My spirit prays, but my mind is what? Unfruitful. So what shall I do?" So Paul asks himself a question, rhetorical. He says, "So what shall I do?" He says, "I will." Somebody say, "I will."
"I will."
"I will pray with my spirit." In other words, I will pray in tongues, but I will also pray with my understanding. He said, "I will." Somebody say, "I will." "I will sing in tongues. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding." So you see that gift being exercised here every Sunday when people around the congregation are just worshiping in an unknown language. It's not foreign. It's not weird. It's not strange. It's biblical, somebody. Paul said, "I will do it because it edifies the body." Chapter 14, verse 2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue or in a language," the word is glossa in the Greek, it just simply means a language. "If anyone who speaks in a tongue, they do not speak to people, but to who?"
God.
So when you're speaking in a tongue, when you're speaking in a foreign language, you're not speaking to man. Nobody's going to understand you because you're speaking to God. Indeed, nobody understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Are y'all tracking with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, once again, there is a definition of tongues with interpretation, which gives us prophecy. We don't have time to get into that today. One more verse here. Romans chapter 8. Most of you know this. Verses 26 through 28. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." How many of you go through times of weakness?
Amen.
The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Come on, has anybody ever been in that boat? You have no idea how to pray. God, this is confusing. I have no idea how to come out of this. We don't know how to pray. We know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with what? Wordless groans. Verse 27, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with, here it is, the will of God. So when the Spirit of God is praying through us, using this body to pray, he's praying the exact will of God. And that's what we've been talking about the last 5-6 weeks. We've been talking about not my will be done, but thy will be done. So the Spirit of God praying for you will help you pray for God's will be done. Come on, here it is, church, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So in context, how many of you know that God's will for your life isn't always a bed of roses? Oh, I wish somebody would help me right there. If you don't believe that, huh? Just ask Paul, who was beheaded after serving in prison. Just ask Peter, who was crucified upside down. Just ask Stephen, who was stoned to death, but yet had the Spirit of God in him strong enough to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just ask the prophet Isaiah, who was sawed in two, praying, Father, this is our Bible, saints of God. There's been too much commercialism preached in Christianity that it's some kind of feel-good religion that God's going to meet all your needs. And there's truth in that, that God will meet all our needs according to his riches and glory, but he's going to meet our needs, not our greeds. But there's suffering throughout the Bible. So when we pray, God's will be done. Sometimes it's not just a bed of roses. Now, how many of you know that God even sometimes uses storms in our lives to get us where we need to go? We're talking about praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Holy Spirit, take us where we need to be. Guide us, Holy Spirit, where we are to go. Lead us, Lord, step by step to get us to our appointed destination. Amen. So open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 27. And we're going to read about Paul's missionary journey. As I said, we're going to go pretty much through the entire book or the entire chapter. And I'll just make some comments along the way. So this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's when God called Paul to go to Rome. You can read about that in Acts chapter 23, verse 11, which reads, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. So God gave Paul marching orders that he was to go into Rome to proclaim the gospel. Now, even though Paul had a calling to Italy, to Rome, how many of you know people like to travel to Rome today? I mean, that's like a hot spot for vacation, right? Even back in the day, I mean, it was quite a place. Even though he had a calling to Italy, he had no idea that he would be traveling there as a prisoner in chains. He probably had, you know how some folk go around today, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I know I'm going to be at least going on a Carnival cruise line. At least a Carnival cruise line, maybe the Norwegian, maybe a little upscaled one. Maybe I'm going to fly first class on what is that over in Israel? El, their airline. He had no idea he was going to go. Does somebody hear what I'm saying? Listen, when God's going to take you someplace, don't get some preconceived idea that it's all going to be a bed of roses, somebody. My. He had no idea that he would be beaten and battered and he would remain shackled the entire trip. He had no idea that a shipwreck was going to be a part of his journey to get him to his appointed place. How many of you know we need a few shipwrecks in our lives once in a while? Sometimes we need a shipwreck to keep us on course. Our prayer needs to be so, God, wreck me. How many of we need wrecked once in a while in our lives? Oh my God. Once in a while we need a tornado come through our life. Once in a while we need a hurricane to blow. Hey, let me just make it biblical here for you. Sometimes we need a mighty rushing wind. Oh, come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need the Holy Spirit to blow through and rearrange the landscape of our lives. How many of you seen the pictures of when a hurricane goes through an area? Everything's discombobulated. Everything's in a different place. Oh, God. We need the Holy Spirit to blow through our lives to rearrange us and arrange us and to move something. We need the Holy Spirit to knock some idols down in our lives. You ever see those videos when they show them after a hurricane or a tornado? You'll see this huge tree picked up by the roots and tossed a mile away. How many of you know we need some wind to come through our lives and pull some things up by the roots? Because how many of you know we can have some things that get deep-seated in our lives? That get grow deep roots, and sometimes it's only by the Holy Spirit, by the mighty rushing wind, that's going to pull that thing out by its root. Calamity and tragedy makes us prioritize in our lives, saints of God. We're just looking at the Word of God and learning what other godly people went through to fulfill God's will. And that should be at the heart of all of us. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So we're talking about praying in the Spirit. We're talking about going through the storm. Let's look at Acts chapter 27. Beginning right at verse 1. The Bible says, when it was decided that we would set sail for Italy, Paul and some of the other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramyttium, about to set sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. Verse 3. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. Now, you know, how many know Paul was going on this ship? Once again, it was a carnival. They did not have a midnight buffet. So if he wasn't taking any food, if some friends didn't provide food for him along the way, he was going there hungry. Verse 4, from there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because of winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra at Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty riding off Cnidus. When the wind, mark this, the wind did not allow us to hold our course. We sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite of Salmon. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. Now let's pause here. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 7, the Bible says the wind did not allow us to keep course. Can I ask you a question? Has the wind of life ever stopped you from proceeding? Has it ever allowed you not to go on and keep your course? When you follow this ship's journey on a map of the Mediterranean, the ship is all over a place. Now, how many of you know the quickest place, the quickest way to point A to point B is a straight line? This ship's going like this. It's zigzag. How many of you did a zigzag or a few in your life? So it's zigzagging through the Mediterranean. And, you know, how did I end up here? We get all these, we have no idea where we're going. This wasn't my intended designation. Hear me when I tell you, somebody, 525 Market Street was not my intended designation. Darla and I never sat down and said, yep, that's our designation, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Listen, all you home folk, nothing against McKeesport. It just wasn't our desire to go to McKeesport. But how many know God had other plans? He zigged us and he zagged us and he put a wind against us that we could not. He closed a whole bunch of doors along the way. Thank God for the closed doors in your life. Thank God for that strong wind. How many of you know we walk by faith, not by sight? It's not always clear cut when we're driven by the wind of God. You see, listen, Paul was sailing with experienced sailors. And before they set sail, they have to chart their course. They have to get their proper destination. They have to understand the water currents and the wind currents. They have to understand the weather patterns. Is it the right season to travel? Is it safe to travel at this time? But sometimes, even when the conditions seem perfect, an unforeseen storm would arise, or wind currents would drastically change at a moment's notice. Listen, saints of God, just as in our lives, we chart our course for life. We set ourselves for education. We set ourselves for employment, or we set ourselves for careers or marriage or ministry. But as we set ourselves for our destination, how many of you know many times the winds of life take us for a turn for the worse, for unseen storms begin to rage? Come on, do I got a witness in this house? First of all, sometimes we need storms in our lives to blow us off our course and onto God's course and into the will of God, so that we might arrive at our proper destination at the right time. Because the course we chart sometimes, listen, it's not necessarily God's course. Now, it's a good thing to plan. It's a good thing to have goals. It's a good thing to have aspirations. But here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 16:9. It says this: a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. So we just need to keep on moving and let God push us in the way that we need to go. Sometimes we need a strong headwind to slow us down, or a strong tailwind to push us along, so that we get there on God's time. How many know sometimes we need the left foot to kick us out into our place? I had to be fired twice to come here. It's true. Thank God I got the left foot of fellowship. You know, when an eagle has its eggs, they make it all nice and fluffy. Yeah. Right? But underneath there, they put all these jaggers, all these real pointy, prickly type of sticks and, you know, all that. It's like real jaggedy, but they got all these nice feathered cushions for the eggs to lay in. But once the eggs hatch, the eagle starts removing the feathers. Pretty soon, that little comfort zone for the little eaglet is like, ooh, 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 it might be time for me to leave, ooh. And they start, because if they don't make it uncomfortable, listen, the eaglet will die in the nest. So eventually, that eaglet is so uncomfortable, the mother or the father eagle will grab it, throw it out of the nest. And it's just flip-flopping around, falling down, thinking it's dying. But then the eagle comes back, picks it up, and puts it back in the nest. And it's, how many of you know, sometimes God has to remove the feathers from our lives? My God. So sometimes he's going to remove that. Listen, watch this. This is important. Don't miss this. Not all storms in our lives are of the devil. Read the story in Acts chapter. Never once did Paul see that storm rise up and rebuke that storm in the name of Jesus. He never spoke to the storm. You know, people talk about speaking to everything today. They take the word of God way out of context. Paul never spoke to that storm, ever. What? So every time a storm or a calamity comes in our life, listen, saints of God, it's not always demonic. Every adverse situation is not always demonic. Listen, my God controls the winds and the waves. Instead of trying to cast out devils every time a storm arises, how about this? How about you position yourself in prayer? You position yourself and you set up your spiritual sail and say, speak, Lord, let me hear your voice. Guide me, direct me, protect me, teach me, break me, Lord. Father, not my will be done, thy will be done. And listen to this. Even if it's demonic, even if Satan himself is attacking you, even if all these little devils are nipping at your heels and nipping at your family, my Bible says, and we just read it, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, I wish somebody in the house would give our God a praise. Verse 9, much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because now it was the day after atonement. In other words, late September, early October, winter was coming. So Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring a great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives. But the centurion, instead of listening to Paul, said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. How many of you know the majority is not always right? Amen. Be careful of the voice you listen to. The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix, not talking about Arizona, although that wouldn't be a place, bad place to winter. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, this wind, you always see this in this story, right? The gentle south wind began to blow in, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so they gave way to it and were driven along. Now the storm is in control. You ever been in that place? You're out of control, and the storm is just in control of your life. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Calda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. They passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. Verse 18. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, come on, some of you might be right there right now. It might be very, very dark for many days, but the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. So verse 19 says that they began to throw their cargo overboard with their own hands to lighten the load. Things that they really thought that they needed for the journey, the things that they really thought they needed for survival, the things they thought they really needed for life, all of a sudden they realized they weren't that important. Is somebody hearing me? In other words, they were getting a priority check. They were pitching stuff in their lives overboard. You see, sometimes, saints, when we go through storms, we need to lighten our load. We need to begin throwing out some things overboard that we think that are vital to our survival. And we have to do it with our own hands. We can't rely on somebody else to do this. Watch this. Hebrew, throw this up, Caleb. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, saints of God, not only does sin slow us down, but the Bible says that we need to lay aside every weight as well. It's not necessarily sin, but some of the non-essentials in our lives. Let me break that down a little bit for you. How many of you know your phone isn't necessarily sinful? Your television, it's neutral. It's not necessarily sinful. But how many of you know it can become a weight for you to going into the presence? Oh, come on, I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. The Bible says lay aside every, not just sin, but every weight that's going to stop you from running the race. So sometimes you need to put down that Facebook or the Snapchat or the Instagram or the television show or whatever it is, that weight that so easily besets us from running the race that is set before us. We need to set aside that race. Set aside that weight. Verse 21. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to say." In other words, Paul saying, "I told you so. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss." How many of you wish you would have heard that small little voice and you could have saved yourself a whole lot of heartbreak? Come on, do I get a witness in this house? You heard the voice. Somebody spoke to you, or the Lord spoke to you himself. You knew it was the Lord saying, "Don't go there." But you went anyhow. And you paid the price. Come on, somebody. How much heartache and trouble could we have saved ourselves in time past if we would have just obeyed the voice? Verse 22. "But now I urge you, keep up the courage." Because when somebody spoke to you, you knew it was the Spirit of God and you paid the price. But listen, now here's what Paul's saying. "Now, even though you disobeyed the voice of God, I urge you to keep up the courage. Because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed because of your disobedience." How many know sometimes we lose some things? Verse 23, "Last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage. I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island." In other words, there's some disaster ahead. How many know sometimes when we get those prophetic words, they never speak of disaster? All these prophets, they don't prophesy, they prophesy. Come on. It's not the prophetic, but the pathetic. It's always a good news. Oh, you're going to travel the world. You're open up another bank account because more money's coming your way. And then they try to throw from the north and the south and the east and the west. And I call in finances. And come on. Do I get a witness in this place? All the hocus pocus stuff that's out there today. This angel told, "Well, listen, your ship's going to run aground. You're going to go through some disaster." Now, I know I shared this with you before. I was in upstate New York preaching one time. This was years ago. Going through one of the darkest storms of my life. I was in this church and I preached my heart out. I led the worship and it was all over and everybody had left. And there was one elderly woman left in the building as I was tearing up my stuff and setting up. And she walked over to me, "God bless you, brother." And she grabbed me by the neck, you know, and pulled me down and she got in my ear. Come on, any of the seasoned saints ever do that to you? She wanted to make sure I heard what she was going to say. This girl, she was an elderly woman. She didn't know me from a can of paint. But she said, "Brother, I know right now your life is in bad shape. But it's going to get worse before it gets better." Pastor DeLise, not the words I wanted to hear. But here's the thing. It struck my heart. And I knew she was speaking the truth. Why would God allow me to hear that voice? Because it was to prepare me that even in the midst of my storm, no matter how dark it was going to get, no matter how long it was going to last, he was going to be there in the midst and he would see me through because he's a redeeming God. Come on, somebody in the house. My. Verse 27. "On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land." Verse 28. "They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again." How many know sonar has been around for 2,000 years at least? "And found it was only 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight." How many know even heathen pray when they're going through a storm? The sailors prayed. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Let me break a little bit of this down for you here. Saints of God. The Bible said it was on the 14th night, so this storm lasted a little while. It wasn't just a little 24-hour cycle. How many have been maybe in a storm for a moment? It's been a season. It might be a month or 2 months. It might even be a year. But that storm, come on, somebody. But the storm just keeps raging. Here's what Paul is saying. Here's what the Word of God is saying. Don't be discouraged. Can I tell somebody today that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad the winds and the waves are pounding, no matter how much water you seem to be taking in, don't abandon the ship. Don't abandon your reading of the Word of God. Don't abandon your praying in the morning, noon, and night. Don't abandon your fasting. Don't abandon your coming into the house of the Lord as much as you can. In other words, you got to stay with the old gospel ship because the captain's name is Jesus. He will lead us to safety. He will lead us to victory every time. As a matter of fact, the word says that they cut the life rafts and they let them drift away. In other words, there's no more option. We're with the ship now. We're all in. If we go down, we're going down with the ship. Remember Peter in John chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching, after he was done teaching, they all left him. But Peter stuck around. Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Peter, aren't you going to leave as well?" "Where are we going?" "You got the words of life, Jesus. There's nowhere else that we can go." We've got to get to that point, saints, where we don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We need to cut the rope. That's the problem a lot of Christians have. They're trying to straddle the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then when the storm hits, they're looking for their little life raft. When a storm comes along, they're looking for their bottle. When a storm comes, they're looking for their crack pipe. When a storm comes along, they're looking for their old boo or something. Come on. We need to cut away the life rafts. We need to cut away the things that so easily beset us so that Jesus is our only option. Come on, somebody in the house. We walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, it needs to be Jesus or nothing. Jesus or nothing. Too many times we want Jesus to supply our needs, but just in case I have to have my emergency pack over here just in case Jesus doesn't come through. I'm believing the Lord God Almighty for a husband. I'm believing the Lord Almighty for a wife, but just in case I'm going to keep Mookie's number in my phone directory. Just in case Jesus is late, you know, I need to have some kind of a life rope. Oh, come on, is somebody hearing me? Talk to me, somebody. Just in case, Jesus. Just in case. Oh, I know he drinks, she drinks. I know they're not saved. I know they never said they would never marry me, but I'm holding on. I want to encourage somebody to cut the raft. Rope. Verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head. After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves all together. There were about 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. In other words, we're lightening up here. Verse 39, when daylight came, they did not even recognize the land. But they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. Verse 35, the Bible says, just before dawn. How many know just before dawn is usually the darkest and the coldest hour of the night? The Bible says just before dawn, at the coldest and darkest hour of the night, what did Paul do? He took some bread. He broke the bread and he gave thanks to God in front of them all. In other words, Romans 1 and 16, Paul also writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, in the midst of your storm, there were other believers, I don't know, but there were unbelievers on there. Paul said, in the middle of my storm, right in front of these paganistic heathen saviors, all in front of these woke folk, I'm trying to encourage somebody. You won't shut your mouth in the midst of your storm, but you're going to break the bread of life. You're going to give thanks to God regardless of what they think about you. What Paul is saying is that I don't know who's in charge of your storm, but I certainly know who's in charge of mine. Amen. Verse 39, after Paul had his communion, the Bible says when daylight came, they seen a land. In other words, then came hope. Come on, y'all know this. Weeping might last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Many times that joy comes, it's not an a.m. or a p.m. The morning is when you wake up. They didn't recognize the place. Sometimes God is going to direct us to an unfamiliar territory. I mean, what in your own personal life, if you've been saved for a while, think back 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. You might say, how did I end up here? How did I end up in this unfamiliar territory? They began to cut the anchors. They were in 90 feet of water. You see, church, anchors are used to keep us stationary. It's made to keep us in one place. How many of you know when you're anchored in Jesus Christ, that's a good thing? My God. Now, if you're anchored to Christ, that's good. However, if you are anchored in the things of this world, you need to cut the anchor. If you're anchored in an adulterous relationship, my friend, cut the anchor. If you're anchored in hanging out with the wrong crowd, you need to cut the anchor. If you're anchored in church tradition rather than the Word of God, my friend, you need to cut the anchor. Verse 42. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and keep them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard. How many swimmers we got in here? Anybody know how to swim? You were jumping overboard. He ordered them to jump overboard and get to the land. The rest were to get there on planks or other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached the land safety. I love this. Watch this. In verse 44, the centurion on the ship, he ordered the swimmers to jump overboard first, but those who didn't know how to swim, he said, grab on to a piece of the ship. Sometimes, Judah, when we're in the middle of a shipwreck, we don't know what to do. Everything's falling apart. If you don't know how to swim, you need to just throw yourself overboard into the arms of our loving God and grab a piece of the ship. I'm talking about grabbing onto some good fellowship. I'm talking about grabbing onto some good discipleship. I'm looking to get into a right relationship. You might have to find a place of intimate worship. I'm talking about grabbing onto a piece of ship. You might need to get on board a thankful ship or a word ship or a praise ship. You might need to get onto a shouting ship or a dancing ship. But get on some type of gospel ship and move on. Come on, Church of God. Let me wrap it up. We're talking about praying in the Spirit, praying through the storms of lives. We all have them. Everybody. Nobody is exempt from the storms of lives. Sometimes when we get stuck in one place so long, one storm so long, we begin to think that that's God's destination for our lives. Let me prophesy to you for a moment. Your storm is not God's destination for you. Y'all hear me? The storm that you are in is not God's destination. You're just passing through. I want to give you a few examples in the Bible. It was not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was not God's destination for them to stay in the fire. It was God's destination for Nebuchadnezzar to proclaim that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the three Hebrew boys, was the true and living God. Come on, somebody. It was not God's destination for Job to lose everything in his household, but it was rather God's destination to bless him twice as much. It was not God's destination for the Israelites to be stuck in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, but it was God's destination for them to be a great nation to which his son, Jesus Christ, would come, the Savior of the world. Listen, let me make this more American, if you will. It was not God's destination for West Africans to be stuck in slavery here in America or in Africa.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'm trying to preach somebody. But it was God's destination for the West Africans to be doctors and lawyers and inventors and professors and presidents and preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was not God's destination for David to be stuck with the smelly sheep all his life. It was God's destination that he would be a mighty warrior and a great king of all of Israel. Finally, it was not God's destination for Jesus Christ to be just crucified on an old rugged cross, but it was for his destination for Jesus Christ to rise on the third day, that he might provide propitiation for an entire world and sit at the right hand of the Father, and one day he will rule the earth and of his kingdom. There will be no end. It will fill the whole earth. And because of that, today, you and I are a part of that kingdom. I wish somebody in this house would give our God a praise. My God. So whatever storm you're going through, my brother, my sister, it's not God's destination for you. It's a part of the journey to get you to Rome, to get you to your destiny. Ephesians 2:8-9 states that we've been saved by faith through grace. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse, in verse 10, it says you, it's talking about you, Judah, were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he's already prepared in advance for you to do. God has a plan for your life, and sometimes you're going to go through the storm. Sometimes he needs to wash some things off of us. Sometimes he needs to put a little thorn in our flesh. My Bible says iron sharpens iron. How many of you know it doesn't feel good being sharpened? It doesn't feel good when you get them rough edges. That's okay. Sometimes people need to speak to you boldly and frankly to cut off some of that. Come on, we all need it. That Holy Spirit needs to get out that spiritual scalpel and begin adjusting those attitudes between these ears. I'm just trying to help somebody in the house today. So your storm is not your destination. What is your destination? The only way that you can find out is not running after the pathetic or the prophetic. We're talking about prayer. Praying in the Spirit. Go to your closet. Listen for the voice of the Lord, just like Paul did. Begin to listen and tune in. Listen to your GPS. I'm not talking about a global positioning system. I'm talking about a God positioning system. How many of you know we're all on a journey? There's a GPS that's available. It's called the Holy Ghost, somebody. I'm probably the only one that's ever done this when you were driving and that GPS in your car starts yelling at you. Make a U-turn. Anybody, I got a witness in this house, get lost. Well, listen, I believe today the Holy GPS, the Holy God positioning system is yelling out to some folk, make a U-turn.
Repent.
There's a Greek word for that. Repentance. Turn the other way. Go in another direction. Don't keep going on the same place that you're going. I have a plan for you. Listen to my voice. I will get you to your appointed destination on time, in time, every time. Come on, somebody in the house of the Lord. We need some navigation in our life. We have one built in. It's called the Holy Spirit. We need to learn to listen to the voice of God. We're talking about prayer. My God, He'll begin to speak to you. And even if you don't hear Him perfectly clear, which none of us do. Did y'all hear that? Nobody has a direct line. Even if we don't hear Him perfectly, I want to encourage you to take a step. Move forward. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. God cannot drive a parked car. Put your life in gear and get moving, somebody. Put up your sail, if we want to stay with the analogy of the sea. Put up your spiritual sail. Say, which way, Lord? Here am I. Send me wherever your wind wants to blow me. I'm willing to go. And if He closes the door, praise Him anyhow. Honey, listen, one thing I've learned in 40 years of walking with the Lord, you can never fail walking in faith with the Lord Almighty. Because all things work together for the good for those who love God. Many times, you know, folk, you hear a lot of Christians, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. 5 years later, I'm still waiting on God. Now, how about this? How about God's waiting on you? Speak, Holy Ghost. So maybe a storm of life drove you into the church today. If so, I know a man that I can introduce you to that can calm the raging sea. Maybe sin is ravaging your life today. I know a captain who can deliver you. He can heal you. He can save you. The captain of the host's name is Jesus. So let me close with reading this last scripture. We already read it. Romans 8, 26, 28 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. My friend, if you're in a place of weakness, because we all become weak. We all become weary. We all become wore down. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? All of us, everybody. But it helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we should pray. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to learn how to pray, to open up your mouth, open up your mind, open up your spirit to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It will take your Christianity to a new level. Because the Spirit of God is going to pray for you and through you, and you'll open up your mouth and you'll begin to speak in tongues and make that a day. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my natural language. I will worship in the Spirit. I will worship. But I will worship in English. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. So when you're going through your storm, let the Spirit of God move in you. Instead of attacking your enemy, worship, pray. Let the Word of God move in you. And after all these things, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. It doesn't matter who's coming against you. Because verse 28 says, in all things, God works for the good. This is a no-lose proposition, my brother and my sister. All things work together for the good. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Come on, if you're in this place today and you love the Lord and you're called according to His purpose, put your hands together, give our God a praise, and stand on your feet. Come on.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.